The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال
Can't touch this. Touch this. American Muslim 360 is
too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
This ain't that kind of show, sister.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslima Reality Radio Show. Sorry.
If you are easily upset, offended, have high blood pressure, a weak stomach, and or no sense of humor, then this is not the show for you. The hosts do not claim to be scholars, sheikhs, or imams. They are simply providing a forum for the sisters. So keep your bit eyes to yourself. Salam alaikum.
This is Riyad Abdul-Qayyum, a.k.a. the Black Man, representing Collegiate Records all day, every day. You know I listen to Kalima Abdul Rashid, the Muslima Reality Show, all day, every day. Hey, hold on, let me take this phone call for a second. Yeah, hello? Assalamu alaikum. Now I'm doing the drop for Kalima, the Muslima Reality Show. Yeah, nah, it's on right now, that's what I'm telling. Yeah, keep it tuned in, keep it locked. Yeah, Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, that's it. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Muslima reality. It's Muslima reality.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of sorting out the right from the wrong. Upon Allah's last and final messenger that preceded Musa, Noah, David, Abraham, Jesus, peace and blessings be upon them all, definitely. May Allah's perfect peace and blessings be upon Allah's last and final messenger again, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, upon his noble companions and righteous families, may Allah be pleased with them all. Upon us, the believers, may Allah forgive us our sins. Amen. Alhamdulillah, all praises due to the Lord of all the worlds, the Most High, the Omnipotent, yes, Almighty. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. You are listening to Muslim Reality, powered here by American Muslim 360, Community-Wide Shura Conference. I am your host, Sissy Kalima Abdul Rashid. Prayerfully, you guys have had a wonderful kind of week, counting your blessings, big and small, being grateful and completely thankful. Inshallah, that means if it's the will of Allah. We could always complain, but there is no solution in complaining. May we take it to Allah first and last. Again, inshallah, we use those words often, definitely. Should it be Allah's will. But we have a great show today for you guys, as we always do, as we bring our guests. We definitely thank our guests in advance. We definitely thank you for your continued support. We are always talking. Our topic today is unity and disunity and its reality and more, of course, in the community with our guests. For some of you guys who do not know him, Brother Shadeed Muhammad is coming to share the platform with us. You guys can find him on the book. That's Facebook, giving talk lectures. And for those that know him, I'm sure he's in the community doing his duty, his obligation, upon his pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as it is incumbent upon all of us to do. We would love for you guys to welcome him. You guys can call in throughout the show with your questions, your comments, your ayats, concerns, hadith, love, salam, whatever you have on the topic, off the topic. You guys hear me say every Sunday, do not fail out of topic. We are one family of humanity. We are one family. You are welcome. Definitely, we thank you in advance. The call-in number is 515-605-9891. Again, push 1 on that phone after calling, dialing in 515-605-9891. Again, we thank you. The time here is 5:08 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The date is Sunday, December 31st, 2017. It is the end of the Georgian year, the Christian era, 2017. It is Rabi al-Thani, 13-14-39 after Hijra, our Islamic calendar. We know that this time of the year, for those that are non-Muslims, maybe you have some Muslims that, you know, follow, blind follow, however, whatever you would like to say. But many people and or some make resolutions and or, I would say, in some cases, broken promises, not kept. But as believers, we keep it moving. We make we made a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the best we can possibly be. Hashtag to the dirt. May we own and honor that, inshallah, definitely. Yes. The weather here in southern Pennsylvania is a high 19, low 18 degrees, doing what it do. You know it is obedient. Everything is obedient except us. Allah has given us free will. We know the spring, summer, fall, and winter. It does what it do. So we have to say alhamdulillah. We complain when it's too hot. We complain when it's too cold. But both of them, whoo, going to be the results of some of the punishments in the hellfire. Just a reflector, you know. No doom and gloom here, just the truth. So just saying it. But we say alhamdulillah no matter what. That's all praise due to Allah. Mashallah, it is Allah's will. And Allahu Akbar, that is the greatest. Yes, God is the greatest. But you guys, I want you to hold tight. Let me take a breathe in and a breathe out, inshallah. Here's my theme song for those who follow. Hear me say, those who love it, like it. Those who don't, want the rest of you guys, put your hand in the sky and continue to make dua. This is DMD. It is called Falling Up. You guys, just hold tight for more Muslim Reality, Community-Wide Shura Conference, our topic, unity and disunity. Unity and disunity in the community and its reality, and always more. Again, with our guest, Brother Shadeed Muhammad. You guys, come back. We appreciate you guys. Again, hold on. This is DMD, the Muslim Diva. It's called Falling Up. Assalamu alaikum. I'm falling out.
enough. Better reach up to the sky.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this. So thankful for this day. Gotta get on my knees and pray. To the Lord above, show me love. I soar like a dove floating off his grace. It's fresh that I'm resting, I can't complain. See the smiles up on his face. Living life like a queen. I am through with me. So fresh, so fit and free. Yeah, you know you like that. When your man be so strong, all you do is bounce back. Can't hold me down. My feet barely touch the ground. I once was lost. But now I'm found, cause feel like I'm falling up and I can't get stuck. Cause I wreck no mud and it ain't too much for me to make the best of my destiny. Feel like I'm falling up, yup, I'm so grown up and I can't get enough. But it ain't so tough that won't not still get the best of me. Up, got me feeling good,
so good,
standing taller than they thought I would. Tell them watch this. Negativity is dismissed.
Yeah,
push it out the door. Spread your wings, take flight so that you can soar. And more, appreciate the little things. There's much beauty that life brings. Don't take it from me, yourself as a lens so you can see how it is to live when your heart is so free. Yeah, you know it's all love. And I say all this just because feel like I'm falling in love and I can't get stuck. Cause I have no luck and it ain't too much for me to make the best of my destiny. Feel like I'm falling up, yup, I'm so grown up and I can't get enough. But it ain't so tough that won't nothing get the best of me.
I want to thank you guys for tuning and holding. You are listening to Muslim My Reality, powered here by American Muslim 360 Community-Wide Shura Conference. We are talking. Our topic is unity and disunity in the community and its reality. It is such a severe topic. We are going to share this topic with you guys. Prayerfully, you guys can share it back. Our guest is Brother Shadeed Muhammad. He is our guest today. You guys can call in throughout the show to support the show topic and the brother. The call-in number is 515-605-9891. Again, the call-in number is 515-605-9891. The access number is 1. Again, we thank you in advance. Okay, so I see you guys here. I'm going to open up Sissy Debbie. She's support every week. I'm going to open up her, and then I see 302. I'm sure that
Assalamu alaikum, Kalima.
Wa alaikum assalam. Sissy Debbie, how are you? Fantabulous, I'm
sure. Oh, I am great, alhamdulillah. I've just had a wonderful Christmas, and now it's New Year's, and your ears must have been burning because Uncle Wu and I were talking about you on the show, and I was saying how you put the flyer on my car, and that's how I found out about American Muslim 360, you know, and he was fascinated. So your ears must have been burning because we were talking about you. And he was telling everybody, be sure to follow my show with her show.
We don't do the air burn and stuff, Sister W. I got to say that. But, hey, I am grateful to y'all as that is positive vibes that being said about me. So I have to say that again. You know, we don't do the holidays, but we don't disrespect them. So, you know, you enjoy your days and prayerfully, you know, Allah give you that which will benefit you better in the hereafter. I mean, but, you know, I thank you for supporting us always. You know, Sister Debbie has, you know, she always tells a story about me putting a flyer on her car. This was about 7 years ago. I was, you know, before I came on air, I was at this Islamic event, and I was putting it, passing out the flyers, and, of course, it was hot, you know. That's perfect for the topic, as a matter of fact. You know, so I'm passing out the flyers, and the unity wasn't there. I'm just being honest. So I said, you know what? I'm going to move to phase two because I have this thing about myself, you know, it's called 18 phases. So if one don't work, move to phase two. If two don't work, move to phase three. You get it? So I just keep it moving. So I wasn't getting the positive vibes by passing out these flyers and explaining to the people, you know, we have a show coming on American Muslim 360, da, 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 da. So I get it. So I said, you know what? I am going to move to phase two. So I said, me and my kids, we went out to the parking lot. It was a massive amount of cars out there. I said, you guys, we're going to put these flyers on the windows of the cars. And Sissy Debbie, I said, if only one person be of benefit, you know, alhamdulillah. So I did. And Sissy Debbie was one that has been on the show since the
mashallah.
Mashallah.
Oh yeah, that was wild. And of course, and you know the story that I parked my car near the entrance because I had to leave early to go feed my dogs, and they want me to park way back there. But if I hadn't parked so close to the entrance, I don't know if you would have gotten the car because it would have been so far away.
Yeah. I've covered a large amount, trust me. You may have gotten it, but Allah knows best.
Yes.
So I was not going to get it.
But alhamdulillah, the rest is history.
I was walking around as I was leaving the park. I was seeing the papers on the ground. I was like, okay, so, hey, it does what it do. But, you know, mashallah, that's what we do. So, hey, we're talking about
Well, I am very grateful.
Yes, and we are grateful for your support, Sissy Debbie, as always. And I'm sure,
mashallah.
You know, AM360, CWSC, appreciate you, and, you know, I've welcomed you aboard ever since. So, you know, may Allah increase our love and our hearts. Again, we are talking about unity and disunity in the community, because one thing about Allah, He gives us our pros and cons. Everything in this life has a balance. You know, the right, the wrong, the in, the out, the up, the down, the black, the white, the heaven, the hell. You know, the beginning, the end. So we're going to share this topic with our guest, Brother Shadeed Muhammad. You guys can find him on the book. He does a lot of lectures. And, again, I'm sure he's in the community doing his obligations. I'm going to open up 401, and then I'm going to open up 302 since this is up first. And then I'm going to go to 401. You guys, hold on. Appreciate it. 302, what's your reality?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Shadeed Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, brother, hold tight right there because we got the guest, the callers are precedent. You guys, hold tight. That's our guest, Brother Shadeed Muhammad. I'm going to open up 401. I don't want you guys holding long. 401, what's your reality?
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah. Good evening. This is Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island.
Hey.
I just wanted to say assalamu alaikum, and I wanted to say to Debbie, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for someone who always talks about so much how she loves Allah and she loves the Muslims and how she saw the fly on Sister Kalima's car and everything, if you love Allah so much, or you love Allah, mashallah, inshallah, all this stuff, how you love Islam is the right way, well, why haven't you made your shahada? What is wrong? I know Allah only makes Muslims, but if Allah is so great, and He must not be too great for you if you keep saying that He is, but you don't want to follow. Are you playing games or what? Assalamu alaikum.
Sister, not at all. I'm a Christian. I'm a person of the book.
Okay, well, Sissy Debbie, Sissy Angela just answered the question really within itself because she said only Allah makes Muslims. So, you know, there's no compulsion in our faith, so we don't push and shove anyone. I mean, we have members of our family that I've been dealing with for many years, and I've been a Muslim now for 23 years, and Allah only opened the breast to, I say, those that Allah love, He opened their breasts to Al-Islam. It is not our duty to, you know, force our way of life on no one. So you not becoming a Muslim is by the will of Allah. So we still have to be delicate. We still have to be loving. We still have to be kind. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he dealt with the Muslims and the non-Muslims. He dealt business with the Muslims and the non-Muslims. His whole character was impeccable. So only Allah knows when you may become a Muslim and not, you know, saying, you know, there are those that will lay down a believer and wake up a disbeliever because they let go the rope of Allah. And there are those that will lay down a disbeliever and wake up believers because they grab hold to the rope of Allah. So, again, you know, man, I'm just, you know, trying to be putting the best construction on it, because that's one of the things that brings the disunity in our community, is that we kind of deal with people based off of our, you know, still bringing a lot of our dunya mentality into our new way of life, and it kind of, you know, brings some friction. But I'm going to open up, you know, and may Allah have mercy on Sister Angela, because we love her for the sake of Allah. She has been a continuous support here on Muslim My Reality, you know. And I understand, you know, on both ends, on both sides, but still, you know, we have to take our feelings out and let Allah's will be in. So, Brother Shadeed, assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm fine, alhamdulillah. How you doing?
I am great. I definitely thank you for accepting the invite. The Muslim world is better than cash in hand. Don't always open that mic and the person show up. So I'm saying alhamdulillah, we are talking. We definitely thank you again for sharing this topic, because it is such a critical topic, that of discussion, you know. Me personally, it is what is in the heart. It is what resides in the heart, you know, that brings on the unity and the disunity. But I'm going to let you elaborate on this. Again, you know, a lot of the disunity comes from the envy, the jealousy, and hate, and the opposite thereof brings on the unity. So I would ask you, you know, this is a Q&A. You guys can always push one on that phone after dialing 515-605-9891. And, you know, bring your questions, your comments, concerns, guys, if you hear me say this throughout the show. But I'm asking you, how do you feel about our Ummah in a whole before we start breaking it down? What's your feeling, your take on it?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. First, let me just thank you for inviting me on your show. And hopefully, yeah, inshallah, by the end of this discussion, we can have some you know, level of understanding. I don't want to come off as a pessimist, even though I am by nature.
Right.
But I am a realist. I am a realist, and I don't sugarcoat that. So, I mean, as it relates to our Ummah, I mean, there's so many layers, so many variables, kind of hard in a couple of sentences to kind of sum it up. But I mean, it's, as people say with their relationships, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. Our Ummah, I think the best way to describe it at this point, is complicated. There's so many different layers. There's so many different variables. There's so many different, you know, elements, you know, that are kind of just chipping away at some of the core, the fabric of our Ummah. And disunity, of course, is part of that. And there are, you know, reasons for some of the disunity. I think it's, you know, we're in a post, you know, I would say post-Salafi climate at this point. That's not to say that, you know, Salafism doesn't exist. That's not to say that holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the first three generations of Islam is not the truth. However, the way that it was represented for some time has been a very, you know, extreme, you know, alt-right type of, you know, orientation that has contributed to much of, you know, the fragmentation and the division in our Ummah. And I think that at this point, you know, where everyone is kind of like in their own little corner at this point, you know, just trying to make sense of it all and trying to figure out where to go from here. there's a level of, you know, untrust. There's a level of distrust there. You know, people have become very distrusting of one another, you know, collectively mm-hmm. as well as individually, you know, because, you know, that element brought so much pain, so much trauma. It's like we mm-hmm. have PTSD at this point, you know, as a ummah.
Wow.
You know, we're suffering from post-traumatic Salafi syndrome, you know.
Wow.
And I mean, it's you know, I'm just telling you like it is. It, you know, this is
completely
what I see from where I stand, from mm-hmm. where I stand.
Wow. That is so heavy that you say that because, you know, I mean, we say you know, my community have, you know, kind of merged into that. So, again, like you say, we are definitely in a funk with ourselves, and it brings the disunity based on our heart, and that's one of the reasons why I mentioned, you know, the heart. So that's where the maladies are, begin with the heart. But then when you know, if you say you follow the Quran and the Sunnah, okay, let's say we do follow those first three generations, it stopped there. And, you know, I don't find anyone in amongst us today that are impeccable or even can, you know, relate to that. But then when you turn to 30, Surah 3, Ayat 103, it clearly states, you know, because we all reading from the same book. So we say we follow Quran and Sunnah and say, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether and do not become divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you. When you were enemies, he brought your hearts together and you became, by his favor, brothers. And you were on the edge of the pit of the fire, and he saved you from it. Thus does Allah make clear to you his verses that you may be guided. So these are the things that, you know, some of us, we spool off our Islamic knowledge, but yet we, you know, cannot comprehend it. So when you say post-Salafi, it brings a confusion in the ummah. So I'm asking you, you know, when it comes to the disunity, because we're trying to look for solutions now, we know there's unity and disunity. What are some of the things that can bring about unity?
Some of the things that can bring about unity, I mean, going back to the blueprint that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, when he first entered into Medina, the first thing that he did was strategically, he began to pair individuals from the Muhajirin with the Ansar. That was the first thing that he did. He began to pair those who migrated, the Muhajirin, from Mecca to Medina. He began to pair them with the Ansar. And his pairing them together individually, like he paired Salman al-Farisi with Abu Darda, he paired Abdurrahman ibn Auf with another companion, and his pairing them was strategic. It wasn't just you and you are brothers. No, it was, you know, you have this particular quality about you, so I'm going to pair you with someone who is the polar opposite. Or you have this particular quality about you, and I'm going to pair you with someone who is exactly like you. And this was done, you know, because you can't have a community. You can't, you know, part of the fabric of any community is brotherhood, sisterhood. Who would you be preaching to if there wasn't mm-hmm. some level of cooperation and cohesion? You would be, you know, and this is part of our problem now. You know, we're preaching to individuals, they don't want to go to this imam, or they don't mm-hmm. want to go to that masjid. They don't mm-hmm. want to listen to this person. They don't want to listen to that person. So we end up mm-hmm. preaching to the choir, because mm-hmm. only the people that want to, there's this, like, this loyalty that we have to this particular sheikh or this particular imam or this particular person, because that comes with a level of immaturity, because I don't necessarily have to be loyal to you to listen to you. I can listen to anyone.
Exactly.
And take mm-hmm. what I believe is beneficial and leave what I believe, you know, is not beneficial. And I mean, you can mm-hmm. do that with anybody. You know, I don't have to be mm-hmm. fond of you in order to listen to you. But this is this commercialization, the sensationalization of, you know, imams and, you know, leaders in the Islamic community. But brotherhood mm-hmm. is definitely the first step in that direction to mending the communities. And brotherhood, there's some obstacles and some challenges within the African American Muslim community in terms of brotherhood,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
we interpret brotherhood to mean I have to be cool with you, and I have to know you, and there has to be some familiarity with you in order for me to love you as my brother or my sister in Islam.
Right.
And
right.
that is the total opposite of brotherhood. You're supposed to love the person regardless of whether you know them or not. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you give the greeting of salam to those whom you know and those whom you don't know. And that part of the fall of our ummah will begin when we only give salam, we only give greeting of peace to those whom we know. You know, we're only wishing well on people that we are familiar with. You know, that is the beginning of our descent as an ummah, you know. So, you know, brotherhood is you know, at the top of the list. And I mean, that has to be cultivated.
People
are just not going to automatically, you know, put their hand in the hand of a complete stranger, especially with all of the distrust and everything that's going on. You know, that has to be cultivated by a system. There has to be a system. Islam was the system that was in place to cultivate that brotherhood.
Right.
You can't just say on the minbar, we need to be brothers and sisters in Islam. We need to start acting like brothers and sisters. And then there's no institutionalization. There's no system in place to help nurture and cultivate that. It's the same thing with marriage. You can tell someone to get married. Any idiot, any fool can get married. But if there is no system in place to maintain those marriages.
Right, but when you say the system has been given to us, which is the guidance, and one of the things I think we fail in with the brotherhood is loving for the sake of Allah, because we can hate a sin, but we don't have to hate the brother and or the sister. But I find that we hate the brother and or sister failing in, you know, loving for the sake of Allah. You know, a lot of us, it's hard for us to say I love you because we put, you know, our dunya feelings and our worldly attachments to it, so we're not loving solely for the sake of Allah. Now I'm going to switch and ask, do you think that the leadership is failing? Because I find that, you know, that a lot of the leadership are not addressing the melees or the maladies in the community. I find that, you know, the leadership is falling and it's given to the brothers. So I put that burden on you guys, and I'm saying this because you are a brother. I find that the leadership is failing. You know, we need to come together as a unit in order to build the disunity or the dysfunction amongst us in our home, in our masters, and in the community, and then abroad.
Well, I think the key word that you mentioned is in the home. You know, going back to your previous statement about loving each other for the sake of Allah, do we even know what love is? I mean, I'm talking about African-American Muslims. We come from a culture of self-hate, and converting to Islam doesn't automatically erase that culture of self-hate. There's a conditioning process. We have to reverse the conditioning process, and Islam has made that easy for us if we just follow the blueprint. But many of us, when we embrace Islam, that is not a concentration. And many of the masajid, if not all of them, that is not a concentration. Reversing a lot of the social conditioning that we have been accustomed to as African Americans, when we convert to Islam, we don't find that, you know, from the minbars and from the leadership and from, you know, the imams, we don't find a push for us to begin reversing that conditioning process. So if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadakum hatta yuhibbu li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi," that none of you truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. But if you don't love for yourself, how can you love for me?
I'm glad you say that. Right, I want you to pause right there, because with that, we say that all the time, love for your brother and or sister which you love for yourself, which should be the ultimate salvation. So if you don't love for your brother and or sister which you love for yourself, which is salvation, how can you genuinely love for salvation for yourself? Because we're not, and we know no one is really going to love someone or have unity with someone that they do not love, or they will not have disunity with someone that they with some disunity with someone they love. So it's based on feelings and emotions. So again, loving for the sake of Allah, man is a true believer until he wants for his brother what he wants for himself, should be salvation alone. I think that, you know, we need to, you know, refer back and or revive that which we have been taught. I think we're dealing with a lot of feelings and emotions in our Umar. We're not, I don't even think we really respected the leadership. And you had mentioned that with the different imams and, you know, people not taking from this one or not taking from that one or may not even take from you, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, the funk that we are in.
Well, I mean, as far as the, to answer your question, as far as the, have the leadership, have they failed us, that this burden has been put on the shoulders of the brothers pretty much in the community. And what are they doing to, you know, foster, you know, this atmosphere of brotherhood and to move us out of this situation? I mean, I don't necessarily fault the brothers. Leadership, yes, I'm very critical of our leadership in Islam, including myself. I'm very critical of that because that is where it starts. It trickles downhill. It starts from the top. And so, yes, our leaders have, you know, to some degree, fail the community in creating and fostering this atmosphere of cohesion and cooperation and, you know, and brotherhood. And the community can sense that. And when the community sees that their leaders or their, you know, imams don't have a level of cooperation amongst them, then that trickles down into, so it's just like as a domino effect. So yes, to answer your question, yes, they have. There has been some negligence on the part of our leadership. And I mean, part of the reason is because many of the imams don't see themselves as leaders. That's part of the problem. We have to change the language. When you
exactly.
go, if you go to the Christian community and you ask the average Christian who is the leader in the Christian community, those are terms that they are very familiar with. They'll say, this is, you know, my pastor, this is my leader, this is this. They're familiar with those terms. We hide behind titles like student of knowledge, you know, I'm a student, or I'm, you know, I'm an imam, you know, which basically regulates you to one particular corner, and that's pretty much what you're responsible for. And so therefore, there's no greater responsibility on your shoulders other than that which you have selected for yourself. And that's part of the problem. When you say I'm a student of knowledge, then that basically says that I don't necessarily have a responsibility. My job is I'm a student of knowledge, meaning I spend my entire life studying Islam. And then, you know, when it's convenient for me, I will, you know, disseminate a little bit of information here and there, but I'm just a student of knowledge. So there is no burden on you. There is no responsibility on you. So then we have to ask the question, then where are the leaders in the Islamic community? Where are they? If you ask the average Muslim, who is your leader? Who is your imam? Who is your leader? You know, the average Muslim, especially African Americans, because we don't have that level of respect and reverence for leadership. We never did.
Right.
We don't, you know, we're too busy looking at you on the minbar, critiquing you from, you know, from a place of privilege, you know, trying to prove to everybody that you're not the smartest or you're not the most intelligent, you're not the most religious, you know.
Completely, you know, but the leadership is the one that is entrusted to bring the community up to a high standards. I mean, you could actually see the condition of the community. You could basically see the leadership of the community based on the community or the members of that community. And I find that, you know, a lot of us, you know, a lot of brothers, again, the leadership, some of the leadership need to be changed in the community, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of downtroddenness. You know, when I say the bringing the community up to a higher standard, meaning there should be things put in place, you know, like workshops, lectures, gathering. And I'm saying for the whole community to be involved, you know, not just a group amount of brothers here or amount of brothers there. You know, the whole entire community need to be involved to collaborate on the do's and don'ts, the ins, the outs, the ups, the positives, the negatives, the family issues, the marital issues, just so many issues that plague our community. You know, we need to come together as a whole to bring the unity. And again, I find that, you know, again, I do put I put a lot of that on the brothers. Although, you know, taking your Shahada is not a group pledge. It's an individual pledge. You know, we are an individual entity. We have to own up to the part that we must play. But we have to come together. The leadership needs attending to, again, where, again, bringing Holocaust, allowing everyone, again, to have an input. Everyone should be welcome. I find that it's set aside. And I'm not even going to speak on the women issues yet because I think that we are in a little corner over there. You know, we need to be highly respected and notified as well. But how do you feel about, you know, when you're dealing with the bringing the community together, what are some of the things you gave you gave a lecture or talk on your Facebook feed a couple weeks back, and that's what made me bring you, ask you if you could be a guest to elaborate on this topic. What made you speak about this?
Well, what prompted me to speak about it is some of the stuff that we're talking about now, just to, just kind of reaching a point where you just kind of fed up and you're saying, okay, enough is enough. Like, what are we doing here? You know, what are we doing here? And I mean, that's just kind of like what got, and you know, you have a lot of imams, that live in fear. You know, when you're an employee, you know, obviously as an imam, when you're an employee, then there's certain fears that you have because, you know, what you say and the moves that you make are all predicated on your paycheck. You know what I mean? Like, you mm-hmm. know, so there's certain things you can't say, certain things you can't do. And, you know, and I think that whole dynamic has, you know, stifled, you know, our communities a lot, because there's a lot of things that I think a lot of imams would like to engage in, would like to say from the minbar. But, you know, because there's an entity there that pays their check and, you know, pays their rent and, you know, cuts the check for them, you know, it puts them in a very awkward situation where, you know, they kind of, you know, silence. And then, of course, then there's the other fear of, you know, being talked about and being, you know, ostracized, you know, being, you know, and that is a fear as well. So I think that there are a lot of fears there. And I'm one of those people. I don't live in that box. You know, I don't mm-hmm. live in the box of fear. And you know, I pretty much mm-hmm. say what I need to say. And you know, mm-hmm. like it who like it, don't like it who don't like it. You know, and I, and everybody everyone doesn't have that level of, you know, audacity. They don't have that. You know, so I think that because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has favored me to, you know, to be that way and favored me to be in a situation where no one cuts my checks, you know, I cut my own checks, that I'm going to use my platform to say what needs to be said, you know. So that is pretty much what prompted me to kind of, the lecture was called Reclaiming Our Communities. It was pretty much a 3-hour lecture that I gave, and you can find the lecture on my YouTube channel, www.rawdah, on YouTube. And that was a 3-hour lecture that I gave, just kind of laying everything out. You know, I hadn't really spoke about a lot of these issues for a while. I was pretty much in a different space, so these things weren't like really necessarily at the top of my agenda. But then some things transpired that kind of put it in front of my face, and I had no other choice but to speak about it and kind of deal with it. And, you know, the response that I got from a lot of people was very positive, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, it was almost like people were just kind of sitting there, you know, clenching, you know, their fists, just waiting for someone to say it, you know, And okay. now that it has been said, you know, I think it's time for us as a community to begin moving, you know, along the lines of, you know, reclaiming our communities and reestablishing our communities. And there are tons of communities that are, you know, in that process now.
Right. And
what needed to be said was said, you know, and now it kind of clears the air for people to kind of choose whatever corner they want to go into and begin working within that capacity.
Right. I think we already know what our problems is in our community, and I think we definitely know the solution. We know purification and Tawbah, some of the things, the two things we neglect, Tazkiyah and Tahara. But, you know, when faith is not truly cared about, there's definitely fragmentation. But when the patient do not receive the medicine, the condition deteriorate, and that's what I find is happening in our community. But I'm going to take a PSA. I want you guys to hold tight. If you have any questions, you guys, please come back with pushing 1 after dialing 515-605-9891. We have our guest, Brother Shadeed Muhammad. We are talking unity and disunity in the community, the reality of it, and more. Again, you are always welcome. Hold tight for more Muslim Reality, CWSC, Community Wide Shura Conference.
2017 is almost over. Now's the time to make your tax-deductible donation to keep the programs you care about strong for the coming year. It's easy. Just visit cwsc.us and click on the blue donate button today, or just call us at 910-317-0297. And thanks for listening. We wish you a blessed 2018. Assalamu alaikum.
You're invited to help make history. The community-wide Shura Conference invites institutions to endorse the CWSC resolution to the United Nations on global drug policy and criminal justice reform. Log on at cwsc.us to read Balancing Individual Rights and Responsibilities with Societal Rights and Responsibilities, Constructing a Better Approach to the Chronic Issues of Substance Abuse, Criminalization, and Mass Incarceration. History will be made as the CWSC convenes for the United Nations Global Drug Abuse Special Assembly Session at UN Headquarters. Our group Intellect Voices will speak from a Quranic-based and global human concern perspective. Thank you to all who have worked diligently to help make this history-making event possible. Together, we can remake the world.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of the solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC and AM360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills, knowledge, and abilities today at cwsc.us. Because words make people, but it will take people to remake the world.
Thank you guys so much for holding. Again, you are listening to Muslim My Reality, powered here by American Muslim 360 Community Wide Shura Conference. I am your host, Sissy Kalima Abdul-Hajid. Our guest, Brother Shadeed Muhammad, is sharing our topic, unity and disunity and its reality in the community and more. We definitely welcome you guys to chime in at 515-605-9891. Definitely, inshallah. We know putting in no work, you know, we cannot be sitting waiting for results. You don't work, you don't get paid. That's just how it is. But as individuals, we have a responsibility to rectify ourselves. So that's where it began. So, Brother Shadeed, what can you say about, you know, because we know we have this big, huge problem, you know, and we really do have a solution, but we're not putting it to work. A lot say, you know, we put in the work here, provide the results. So how do you feel about us as an individual?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
As an individual, again, we taking the Shahada is not a group pledge. We don't say la ilaha illallah. We don't do that as a group. That's an, and we have an, we made an individual pledge. Again, we have this problem, this unity. Of course, we're going to come with the solutions, inshallah. We have this problem, this unity. You say people sitting clenching, waiting, you know, for people to speak up out of fear. They don't want to speak up because they fear this and they fear that, but yet they say in the next breath they fear Allah. How do you feel about an individual, you know, when it comes to the rectification of self? Because, I mean, I get you fear your paycheck, you know, but you put your trust in Allah, you know. It's called tawakkul. Your reliance is with Allah.
Well, I mean, that's easier said than done when you are practicing Islam from the very surface from a very surface paradigm. You know what I mean? Like, they're, you know, in the Sunni / Salafi community, there is no deep, you know, no deep approach to the religion. It's all surface. It's all commercial. Mm-hmm. It's all the look. As long as you have the look, you have the beard, you have the prostration marks.
Wow.
So, you know, you can regurgitate a few statements from this scholar, that scholar. And for the sisters, you know, you wear, you know, certain color overgarment, you wear niqab, you wear gloves, you know, you walk around with a certain book in your pocketbook, you can regurgitate this and that, you frequent certain, that's just the commercialization of it, you know what I mean? But there's no real substance there. And this has been going on for years. There's is no real substance here. You know, we're talking about real spirituality. There's a difference between being spiritual and being religious. So what many in the Sunni Salafi communities, and I'm just saying this generally, and I mean, of course, there are exceptions to the rule, but those exceptions are not the rule. They are the exceptions to the rule. But as a collective, you know, the focus has been on the commercialization of Islam. This is making sure you have the look, making sure you have the jargon, and making sure, you know, you're able to quote the jargon when it's, you know, when it's appropriate. And, you know, avoiding certain things in public, you know, places and things like that. As long as you stay with the commercialization of it, then you are generally accepted. And you know, has done, you know, much damage to us because, you know, there's no real substance there. So when issues like speaking out against, you know, what is, you know, oppression, you know, speaking out against blatant oppression in our ummah, and as blatant oppression go on in terms of molestation, a lot of these children, Muslim children, are molested in homes. We're talking about domestic violence. A lot of Muslim sisters are abused in homes, and yet you hear crickets. In the Salafi community, crickets. You don't hear anything because in order for you to speak out against those things, in order for you to speak truth to power, there has to be some level of spirituality there. And because we're with the commercialization of Islam, we never cultivate and nurture that deep spiritual, you know, interpretation of Islam. So we're never, when the time comes to actually be, you know, religious, based upon a spiritual power behind you, we don't have it. As there's a statement in Arabic, Saqid al-Shayla Yurti, somebody who doesn't have something can't give you what they don't have. So when it comes time to speak truth to power, which requires a level of spirituality, like, you know, when you look at the story of David and Goliath, you look at the story of Dawood alayhi salam and Jalut in the Quran, you know, I mean, you know, when they offered Dawood to wear the coat of armor, you know, the metal armor. You know, you're going up against Goliath. You know, and he said, "No, I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to wear it. Whatever God intends to happen to me at this point, then let whatever God intends to happen to me happen to me. I'm not going to wear a coat of mail, a coat of armor to protect myself from the qadr, something that Allah has already decreed for me. You understand? That required a level of spirituality." That wasn't the commercialization of faith. That was deep spiritual, you know, understanding that, you know, and this is, you know, something that the Prophet ﷺ has been, you know, cultivating within the youth of the Sahaba from the very beginning. You know, the hadith where, you know, Abdullah bin Abbas is sitting on the back of the camel with him and he said, you know, oh, young boy, I'm going to teach you some words of advice. He said, you know, ihfadillah, protect the, you know, the sanctuary of Allah, of God, and he will protect you. He said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, when you ask no one except God. وَإِذَا اسْتَعِنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, when you seek help, seek no one's help except the help of Allah. And know that if a whole nation gathered together to harm you with anything, they would only harm you with what has already been decreed for you to be harmed with. And if they gathered together to benefit you with anything, they would only benefit you with what you have already been, you know, decreed to be benefited with. You understand that?
That is a
child, deep spirituality. And when you embrace those type of concepts, you're not motivated by fear. Fear doesn't bother you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you speak truth to power. It doesn't matter where you are. And so these things, these issues linger on in our communities, you know, and no one is really speaking out about it.
Right. And I find the lingering come from, you know, too many of us having, you know, that residue left behind us where the mentality of the dunya is concerned. But I'm going to say 860. I see you holding. So, you know, please forgive me. 860, what's your reality?
Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
All right. I'm Sister L from the tri-state area. I wanted to say something, a couple of things to the brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about new shahadas. Now, I became a Muslim about 10 years ago. The sad thing about it is when I became a Muslim, I had to teach myself. And I saw the negative side of Muslims. And I had met a lot of sisters who had married into the religion. I didn't marry because of a husband being a Muslim. Mm-hmm. I married because Allah had ordained it for me to become a Muslim. So I had a lot of struggles. I watched the horrible side. I saw the horrible side, but I saw some of the good side too. But there was no one to teach me anything. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of sisters, it was like that, and I'm talking about us. A lot of them, you know, so a lot, I listen to stories, and I'm still listening to stories. I get calls from sisters who walked away from the deen. Now, they don't attend masjids, they don't want to marry Muslim brothers anymore, and they don't vow. And, you know, I try to talk to them, but, you know, I'm not the great counsel. So, but it, you know, the stress of it, being by yourself and having to learn this religion on your own, I respect what they're telling me. I just don't agree with it because I have my own struggles, and I kept the little books in my pocketbook that kept me, reminding me of I'm a Muslim. You know what I'm saying? In certain situations, because I'm not being taught anything. You know, you have to understand that. I kept the fortunes of a Muslim in my purse. I kept the holy hadith in my wallet to remind me, because everything around me was dunya, and I didn't expect certain Muslims to be dunya, you know, Muslims. I mean, high-ranking status Muslims, dunya, and this is what they were teaching me, but I never walked away. But another thing, the brother was talking, I said, I feel like you got to keep your heart and aligned with Allah. You cannot focus on what other people are doing. You can't focus on how you want them to live. You just have to keep your heart focused and aligned with Allah, or you could get sneaked out of this religion yourself, because no one's perfect. You know, I don't judge the sisters, but you could, because we all know Shaitan is busy, and he's looking for that little weakness in you so he could take you away. We know that. You know, you got to keep yourself strong. So I disagree with not keeping the books. I keep the books with me. I keep them with me because sometimes I need to give somebody some advice or a word, and I look it up, and I show it to them or what have you, and I encourage them, and, you know, and that's what we should do. Also, I understand what he's talking about, the children getting molested, and they Muslims. The reality is a lot of, and I spoke about this on a show when the imam got a little upset with me, but it's true. We need to start facing issues in society as Muslims, which is occurring in society, and stop trying to act like Muslims don't have problems. And some people say to me when they talk to me in public business, they say, "You're the nicest Muslim I ever met in my life. I thought you couldn't talk to me unless your husband was here." If I go to the doctor and a male doctor happened to come and talk to me and say, "Such and such is tied up, would you be willing to see me?" Heck yeah, I'm willing to see you. I'm willing to see a doctor. I'm sick.
That's right.
They say, because usually Muslim women won't let anyone see them unless it's a female. Well, if I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm not saying every brother in jail that comes from jail or every brother is like this. But some of these brothers is not fit to be married to sisters with children because they know they're not right. Now, we want to talk about children getting molested. These imams need to do their homework. Stop making sure these brothers get a wife so that she can take care of the brother. And not even just so incarcerated brothers. We have brothers out here that want to get married, and they expect a woman to take care of them. They expect a woman to bring money to them and do all these things, buy them something to eat. Do it. And, I mean, they have no regret. They have no conscience that maybe they should buy her flour or give her soda in order to be with me. And some of them high-status brothers, too. High maintenance, high status brothers, expecting sisters to take care of them. You got to give me money. I mean, they be manipulating. And I'm like, wow, you know, and this is the type of Muslims that I saw. And but then I had to look at my OG Muslims who kept it down, held it down for me. They showed me, stay in this religion. Let me show you what way. Because I was looking at the people in my age group, and all kinds of stuff was just going on. I can't say the word, but I was like, wow, maybe I should have just stuck with my, you know, being a Christian and go back and talk to Allah and ask him, why are you placing on my heart to become a Muslim? But then my mom, she said, since you was 2 years old, you was a Muslim. And I was surprised because my mother's a Christian. And my mother said, when you was 2 years old, I knew it was something special about you. That's why I used to cry when I sent you to church, because I was crying, why I got to go to church? My twin sisters don't have to go to church. You always send me. She said she knew it was something special about me. And the fact that when I was born dead. And this doctor and this nurse never gave up on me. And Allah let me be here. I'm here. But I was born dead. My mother went to the hospital to deliver a dead baby. And there was no heartbeat. But I'm here. So Allah Akbar. That's it.
Yes, SubhanAllah, we definitely thank you for your call, sister. I mean, the formalities are real. We're going to let the brother address that, but I just wanted to say, you know, that was heavy coming from a sister. First of all, we know that we are born Muslim, so, and only Allah makes Muslims, but that was so heavy on so many levels. Like, it's just so many things that just being covered up. So I don't know where you're going to begin with, you know, that bulk of heaviness that sister just let loose, brother. So wherever you would like to begin to address her call, you are completely welcome.
I just a couple of things. One is, I can't knock anybody's experience. That is her experience, and I don't want to invalidate that. You know, that's her experience. But when we're speaking on a, you know, public platform like this, and you know, we have to, you know, be careful that we don't paint the entire ummah with a broad brush. You know, if that's your own personal experience, you know, then okay, that's your personal experience and no one can take that away from you. But there, you know, and as it relates to the brothers that are getting married, you know, and are taking advantage of these sisters, they are a minority. With all of the Muslims that are married in our ummah, if we said that those type of brothers are the majority, then we would see most of the marriages crumbling. But we don't see that. There are tons of marriages that I know of personally and people that I've married myself, you know, and many imams that I know of that exercise great caution before marrying sisters, you know, two brothers. Not to mention, you know, a lot of times sisters, you know, speak from their own personal pain. And, you know, we have to be careful with that because we don't want to make it seem like this is the epidemic, because it's not. These brothers are a minority. These brothers who marry sisters and expect these sisters to take care of them. First of all, no woman can get married without her permission. So if you didn't do your own research, if you didn't do your follow-up, if you didn't watch for red flags and then you got put into a situation, can you really blame that on the imam and the brother? Like, did they really, you know, swindle you and take advantage of you? Like, I mean, like, we talk about how smart we were in Jahiliyyah and what we didn't do before we became Muslim. And then it's like when we become Muslim, it's like we leave our intellect in Jahiliyyah. I mean, it's like completely. Like, we have to take some ownership. We have to take – we can't just paint ourselves as a complete victim. Yeah, there's some sisters that have been taken advantage of. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a new convert. You don't really know much about Islam and, you know, okay, and, you know, the community that you, you know, were a part of, you know, the imam was not the best of people. You know, the brothers in the community were not necessarily the best of brothers. And, you know, first situation that you married into, you know, you kind of got caught up in something. You didn't realize what was going on. But after that first time of getting caught up in that situation, you kind of take a step back and you begin to look at the situation, analyze it, and to, you know, proceed with caution. not to jump back into another situation and another situation, and then finally, reach the end of your road and say, well, these brothers ain't this, well, I should have stayed a Christian, or I could have, I'm done with these Muslim brothers. But, there are tons of good Muslim men out there. It's just we tend to choose the most horrible places to look for them. And, to be quite honest with you, the probably the worst place to look for a good Muslim brother is the masjid. That's probably the worst place to look for a good Muslim brother, because those who want to get married and who want to take advantage of them, they've caught on to the hustle. They know. It's the same thing in church. If you want a good sister, you go hang out in the masjid, put your thobe on, you in the, masjid for Fajr. The brothers are seeing you. Come on, we know the game. I can give you the whole blueprint. I give you the whole profile.
That brings me back to the question. Okay.
One other issue is that, the whole issue of, going to a doctor and seeing a doctor and only wanting to see a female. I think that any Muslim woman, if she's going to a gynecologist or any physician for that matter, I would like to think that the Muslim woman's initial preference would be a female physician.
Obviously, in the event that
a female is not available, and then you have an option to say, then I'll wait, I'll reschedule, But to browbeat a sister because she refuses to be checked by a male or refuses to have a – that's not fair. That's not fair to very broad statement.
It's not
fair. That's her personal preference. And to paint her as someone who was, not using her intellect, and to paint her as extreme because this is her own personal preference, it's not fair. So when we get on public platforms like this, we have to speak from as Allah commands us to to speak a word that is closest to the truth. Kulu kawlan sadida. Say your speech be as close to what is fair and just as possible.
At the same time, a person is speaking from their feelings. So, they may not come from a way of understanding. We have to put the best construction on things also. And that is one of the reasons why we have a lot of disunity in the community, because we are judgmental creatures. So with that being said, we have to put more understanding on situations opposed to lacking in understanding. But one thing I do would like to commend the sister on, of her holding on to the rope of Allah with everything that she had, and with her teaching and teaching herself, because that's one of the things that I find of us as women. We fail in our lessons. We could go to a brother like you and any other brother and learn from our issues from a brother, when we can learn ourselves. And I'm just saying, to give respect to Aisha radiallahu anha, she gave off 2,000 some odd hadith, and the men and women traveled near and far to get that information from her. So, yes, I agree with what you say. Some of us fall into or spill into Islam and leave our intellect behind. But Allah, that is going back to the question with us, how are you feeling about us as an individual entity, because we made an individual pledge. When we said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we said that amongst, between us and our Lord, and we need to go back and stay there on Tawheed, or that first condition of Shahada, in order for us to find a solution to all of the unity and the disunity and the community and everything else. It's the heart that is deficient when it comes to the disunity. It is the heart that is, for the sake of Allah, it is the heart that brings about that love when you love someone solely for the sake of Allah, and not because their sobe is too long or too short, or they smell too good or not, or they make a salat. You hear people, say all of these. We love accolades. We love them. But the best accolade is being a Muslim. So the solution has been given to us. We just fail in our lessons. We fail in the process. So we could talk about, all of the problems that we have in our community where the disunity is concerned. Me personally, I still have to go back to, the last sermon of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, is something about that give us, a complete guidance. Some of it is elementary, elementary, you say that, you know, you have those that call themselves students of knowledge and shapes, all these titles, labels, slogans, you know, pop this, you know, I'm with this group, I'm with this club, I'm with this sect, I'm with, you know, all of those things mean nothing in the sight of Allah, because we are one brotherhood, as you mentioned. We are one. So one part of the body hurts, all of the body hurts. So the body must be numb, because you can see a domino effect of the condition that we are in, not just in our home where you had mentioned earlier where it began, but in the community, in our country, and abroad. I mean, we are definitely seeing the prophecy unfolding in front of us and fulfilling itself on so many levels. So Allah says he's not going to change our condition until we change our condition. And it's obvious, it's just so apparent that our condition is remaining the same, because we are, all we're doing are complaining about these same issues. And where's the correction? You know, so now we're going to go to some of the solutions. Inshallah, what would you say would be the number one solution to help us in the unifying our community, inshallah? Clearly, for the sake of Allah. That's the first thing I want to say.
Well, I mean, as I mentioned, brotherhood, you know, sisterhood, which that has to be cultivated. That we can't just get on the minbar and say, hey, you guys have to be brothers, especially when you have a diverse group of people who, you know, have different interpretations of what brotherhood means, what sisterhood means. You have a child who grew up as a single, you know, as a single child, didn't have any siblings, you know what I mean? Like, they don't, you know, their understanding of brotherhood is going to be totally different than someone who grew up in a huge family surrounded by brothers and sisters, and those brothers and sisters, there was some, you know, a thread of cohesion between them, you know, that their understanding is going to be totally different, and their approach and their ability to implement and execute the commandment for brotherhood is going to be different. So I think, you know, without moving any further past that, because that is a critical component. We can't just brush past that and move on to the next thing. You know, what system can Masajid, can we put in place to help cultivate brotherhood and sisterhood? And I think that, you know, that is the question. And there are tons of things that we can do within our own local communities, you know, to help foster an atmosphere of togetherness and, you know, brotherhood and sisterhood. You know, there's things that sisters can do on their own. We can't continuously wait for the imam or for the masjid to suggest what we should be doing. We're past that point at this juncture. We're past the point of waiting for the masjid or waiting for the imam to dictate to us what we need to do in order to make this happen. If you are in an Islamic community and, you know, there is no brotherhood or sisterhood, then you have to start with the people that you are close to. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ibda bi nafsika wa man ta'ud." Begin with yourself and then those whom you are responsible for. And so you can start off small with, you know, maybe, you know, activities, you know, bowling, you know, movies, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, you know, painting, you know, I mean, like, sisters mm-hmm. have to get together. And then, of course, with sisters getting together, then that, you know, sometimes will force brothers to get together, because if this sister mm-hmm. is cool with this sister, then she might say, okay, well, I want to go over to this sister's house, you're going to come with me, you know, you can sit with her husband, and, you know, by you two connecting, you're now forcing your families to connect, your children and their children begin to connect, and then that's one link, and then you guys link with another, and then you guys going out as families, you know, we're going out to dinner, and then, you know, and in time, you know, people will start to gravitate towards those things because it becomes a common theme in the community. So there has
completely.
To be, you know, there has to be a system in place. We can't just keep saying we need to be brothers and sisters in Islam. Okay, but what is going to foster that atmosphere of brotherhood? What is, you know, there has to be a system in place. So,
the
you know,
system,
we don't need to necessarily
system,
wait for the masjid.
Right.
We don't need to necessarily wait for the imam or anyone else for that matter to, you know, help us create that atmosphere. There are sisters that, alhamdulillah, there's, you know, brothers and sisters that I know of personally in many of the masajid in the tri-state area that are creating this atmosphere. And, you know, and it's working fine. It may not work on a global level. We may not have all of the community. Like, that might not even be realistic. It may not, in this day and time, it may not even be realistic for us to, you know, all hold hands, sing kumbaya, and, you know, we're just all going to get along. That's not even realistic. But we work
within, Allah has given us
our capacity.
Yeah. Allah has given us a system, though. The system he has given us is the proper guidance. We have to strive to do the commands of Allah every single moment. I mean, we made a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but again, like you mentioned, we need to engage with one another with mutual consultation, you know, sure, you know, we have to come together. We have to change our way of doing things. You know, we have to refer it back constantly. We have to, like you say, get close and with everyone. On Jumu'ah, you know, when we come together, we always setting our little huddle. We sitting over here and we sitting over there. You know, make that an opportune time to commune with someone new and, you know, and be inviting. You know, we need to stop criticizing and start energizing and being more constructive with one another. Get to know one another. Just change who you are. Just get out of that funk that you're in. Just, you know, bring your Islam to the surface, inshallah. We have to, you know, come together with collaborative ideas. And here's, I want to say, speak for the sisters. Now, this is just some disunity, some injustice on an all-time level. Now, why do we have to have the small space in the masjid? Could you give me some type of closure to that, brother? Because I find that we have the little teeny-weeny-weeny spot in the masjid, and we bring the pocketbooks, the bags, the strollers, the brother stuff. We hold all the food we get. We take it all. Why do we have to have that small space? I'm just saying, off the record.
I agree. I mean, I don't know why. I converted to Islam, and that was the system that was already in place. So, I mean, I don't necessarily know why. I think that, you know, sisters in the community and their local communities can, you know, begin to put pressure on the imam, the board of administration to, you know,
can we get a little
give them
a little bit more?
That's the way that things have always been, and nobody hasn't really, you know, no one has really, you know, voiced an opinion about it. I mean, maybe in their own little circles, but, you know, how many have actually brought that to the table? You know, there's a community meeting, you know, and a lot of the masajids, they have community meetings, and a lot of people don't even show up for the community meetings. You know, it's almost like what we do in our localities. We say voting is haram, but then when laws are passed and, you know, things are put on the table, you know, we don't, you know, I mean, if you don't have a seat at the table, then you're probably on the agenda. You understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, you know, you know, like, we can't sit back and complain that nothing is happening, but we don't engage. We don't engage and involve ourselves in, you know, in the happenings. And we don't call shots. We don't make decisions. We don't put pressure on people who make decisions in order for decisions to be made. So, I mean, with that said, you know, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, facilitates, you know, space for the sisters that would be adequate. You know, I mean, even if the sisters got together in a particular community and said, you know what, if we need to put our money up, you know, to, you know, make that happen, we need, you know, an expansion, and we need a space that is more, you know. And I guess the concept or the idea is that women usually don't necessarily flock to the masjid except on Jumu'ah. So what is the sense in having this huge space for them when it's going to be unoccupied pretty much throughout the week except on Jumu'ah, except on Friday?
Because nowadays the brothers only flocking to the masjid on Jumu'ah too. It's becoming to fulfill that hadith where it's going to be a meeting place. Hey, what's up? Yeah, you know, only on Friday. I'm just saying, you know, may Allah have mercy on all of us. Brother Shadeed, I definitely thank you. I want you to give us some words of encouragement, some uplift, some motivation to push to the dirt, inshallah. We definitely appreciate it. What you got for us?
Well, I mean, to know that, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if any one of you has in your hand a sapling, you know, a seed to plant, and the day of judgment is right upon you, then let him go ahead and plant it. Right. And the understanding of this hadith is that, you know, it doesn't matter how daunting, how dark, you know, life may seem, that you should always strive to do good. Here, the Prophet is telling us that if you have in your hand, you know, a small date palm tree that you can plant, and the day of judgment is right upon you, then go ahead and plant it, because you never know, you know, what could happen from that. So what we're learning from this hadith is to always be optimistic, and that no matter how dark things seem, no matter how, you know, irreparable things may appear, that if you have the ability to do some good, to contribute some good to the narrative, then you should go ahead and do that and not worry about the results. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is responsible for the results. The only thing we are responsible for is to put in the work. And I thank you guys
Definitely.
For inviting me on. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Wa sallallahu ala nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Definitely thank you, Brother Shahid Muhammad. Before you go, let us give some information where the listeners can follow and find you, inshallah.
You can find me on Facebook at Shahid Muhammad /Rawda, R-A-W-D-A-H, admin on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, Shahid, S-H-A-D-E-E-D, _M76 on Twitter, as well as on Periscope, the same handle, as well as Instagram, as well as LinkedIn. I mean, I'm there, you know. And alhamdulillah, please, you know, subscribe, you know, and, you know, join the discussion, inshallah. As I said, you either have a seat at the table or you are on the agenda.
Definitely. SubhanAllah. Definitely. Thank you. May Allah reward you, continue to suffice you, and give you all that you're asking for, inshallah, better in the hereafter. May you get the highest. And make dua for us, our family, and all of us, I mean. Definitely appreciate you again.
Will do.
So, alhamdulillah. Thank you again. Yes. So, you guys, when we find hatred in our hearts, wa alaykum as-salam to Allah. You guys, I just want to add this because we're up out of here shortly. But when we find hatred in our heart towards one another, it is something that are deficient and or with ourselves. So may we continue to, you know, purify our hearts, inshallah, ask Allah to, you know, forgive us for the sins we have knowledge of and no knowledge of. Remember, we are aiming and striving for the Jannah, inshallah. So we have to, you know, get rid of a lot of things that, a lot of informalities that we have about us that we know ourselves. You know, Allah knows us better, but we know ourselves when, you know, we feeling, you know, some type of way towards another person. Let's continue to use our, you know, the brother had mentioned a system. Our system is Quran and Sunnah. If we use that to our benefit, we will have nothing but success. We know it. We see it work for us in many other ways, big and or small. So I know it's a hadith. I'm going to paraphrase it. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, we as brotherhood is like a wall where the bricks are supporting one another. When we, you know, genuinely support one another and love one another solely for the sake of Allah, we will have complete success. But I think that we have to really, really understand loving for the sake of Allah. That means, again, the brother and the sister can have sin, but you don't have to hate them completely. You can hate that sin and still love them for the sake of Allah, because none of us is without sin, and we know this. So we don't have to express, oh, you know I'm not perfect. You don't have to say that. You know, we know you're not perfect, so you don't have to express that. That is something that, you know, is a part of our DNA, or we would not need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But may Allah increase us and our love and our zeal and our brotherhood. You know, when we genuinely say we want for our brother and our sister what we want for ourselves, I'm praying that would be salvation. So in order to want that for another, you would have to work on that for yourself. But when we deal with one another, may we deal with one another, again, with the faith that Allah has given us. When we deal with that faith, it will stir up goodness in our heart and our soul. It will change us. We will become a better person. Allah will never give up on us. So we don't have to say, you know, Allah give up on me because I'm this, I'm the worst. No, Allah don't give up on us. We give up on ourselves, you know. But again, I have to refer this back to our leaders. We do need quality leaders, you know. We don't need uppity leaders, you know. We need those that, you know, willing to support our needs and our issues and, you know, bring us together. Come down from off that pedestal and just, you know, be down with the lowly guys. Because I've been communicating with people, as you guys see. I'm doing it on this platform and on many others. And I have spoken with, you know, those with the titles and the labels. And I, you know, asked if I could have, you know, a conversation or one-on-one or da-da-da. And, you know, I may be the small guy to them. You know, some don't come back to me or, you know, give me a blige or give me a request or, you know, respond at all. And it's okay, but I get it because, again, I refer back to the system. I find it about the hadith where the Prophet Muhammad was reprimanded about the blind man. So, you know, again, it begins with self. We are an individual entity. We made an individual pledge. We have this big, huge problem, but until we could, you know, purify within ourselves, we're going to continue to have this problem. But may Allah have mercy on all of us. I thank you guys for supporting and tuning in. Continue to tune in for more Muslima Reality. You guys, I'm at AM 360 CWSC. You guys can stay tuned for the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad, followed by this broadcast. And should you miss any of the shows, you can always go to CWSC.us. And get your rewind on. Definitely, we thank you in advance for our callers, our listeners. We thank you for your support, you guys. Also, gift for confidence at CWSC. You still have time. We're at the end of the year. Call to action, you guys. Still have time to make your end of the year donation, contribution. You guys contribute to keep bringing beneficial information, you know, broadcasting, just so many things that you can find. Go to CWSC.us for more info, and we definitely thank you so much. I'm going to and I want to definitely Sissy Debbie always call to support, and I know that, you know, we all have our way. This is an informal platform, so, you know, we welcome you guys no matter what you have to say. You know, Allah, you know, knows the heart of the people. Again, we do not make Muslims. I don't want Sissy Debbie to walk away from this platform or from Allah say that the Muslims are the best of mankind. So we have to portray that. We have to emulate that. So we have to be kind and delicate. We cannot, you know, say that why they're not this and why they not that. The why is with Allah. That is why it's called the decree. You know, make dua for the sister. That is the only thing that changes the decree. But we should not get frustrated because someone is not where we want them to be, you know, because we are still not where we need to be, inshallah, because we would not be complaining. The one with knowledge is the one with the best manners, inshallah. We already know that Allah says the one with the best knowledge is the best of us. So, inshallah. May Allah have mercy on Sissy Debbie and all of us, our family, your family, inshallah. May we continue to ask Allah to forgive us. I'm going to go out with this call to action. Again, you guys, continue to support. Stay tuned for more Muslima Reality. Next week we have an open topic. We welcome you to come back, you guys. And, again, continue to stay tuned for more of AM 360 show, CWSC. Have to give another shout-out to our guest, Brother Shadeed Muhammad. You guys, again, can follow him on the socials. Matter of fact, he just shout-out so many socials. I'm sure you can Google his name, Shadeed Muhammad, and the info will come up. So, you guys, until next week, more Muslima Reality, Community-Wide Shura Conference, AM 360. We thank you so, so much. I'm going to say assalamu alaikum. May the peace, blessings, and mercies of Allah be upon all of us. Ameen.
2017 is almost over. Now is the time to make your tax-deductible donation to keep the programs you care about strong for the coming year. It's easy. Just visit CWSC.us and click on the blue donate button today. Or just call us at 910-317-0297. And thanks for listening. We wish you a blessed 2018. Assalamu alaikum.
Here at Community Wide Share Conference, we think you're a pretty special part of our group intellect. After all, we all have unique skills, ability, or knowledge. But none of us are skilled enough to drive while texting, talking on, or looking at our phones. It's just dangerous, and life can change in a split second. Be safe and wait. A public service message from AM 360 and the CWSC.